This is Shippensburg 2015. This is Class 2 on Unlocking Revelation with our brother Stephen Hornhart. This is fourth class entitled, And the Woman Fled into the Wilderness.
Well, good morning, young people. How are you doing? How are you doing, Dan?
Good.
Going well, excellent. What about... Pardon me? Chase? Starts with? Oh. Yeah. No, I've got no idea. Starts with? Janet, Janice, Jamie. Jane. Well done, Jane. Jade. Beg your pardon. Jade. Jade and James. I know James because, yes, Josh, Abby. Yeah, come on, you've got to have those name tags up there because I've still got another 2 days. And if you do that, I'll go kind on you and I might take off one or two of the emperors that you don't have to learn. All right, young people, what we're going to do... We've spent 3 days and we've given you a scaffold of the apocalypse, a broad brush look. And yesterday, we particularly looked at, well, proving that the beasts were Rome. Do you remember Revelation 13? We went to the end there and we looked at the number of man, 666. Can somebody give me, in a very... succinct way, a very crisp way, what the proof of the 666 is. Jonathan. Oh, hang on, microphone. Is it the button on?
It should be.
Where's Jonathan? Jonathan, a very quick... Now, as Jonathan gives us this quick overview, I'm then going to call upon the Senate, and you're the Senate at the moment, to just give thumbs up or thumbs down as to whether you think that it is a sufficiently suitable explanation. Daniel? Yes, indeed, yes, yeah. Whether you just give, yep, we accept that or we don't accept that. No pressure, Jonathan, no pressure at all.
All right, so we were looking at the Latin word Latinos, which is referring to the Latin-speaking man, and... Before you were talking about how the ancient like Greek words have like numbers for each letter, and the numbers for each letter add up to 666.
Very good. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Halfway, Daniel, did you say? Oh, you start there and you go like that. Very good. Very good, Jonathan. Thank you. Can anyone add anything to that that they think is worthwhile noting? Yes, very good. Like Dux Clary, captain of the clergy, and others. Yes. Joe?
Latin became the main language of Rome in AD 666.
Very good. Excellent. So really, now with Revelation 13, without looking at Revelation 13, I'm going to get this group, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, this group of six here, I want you to just pull your heads together. Don't look at your Bibles or your notes. Pull your heads together and come up with the three beasts of Revelation 13 in order and tell me who they are. All right? Oh, you can use your Bibles. This group of people, I want you to come up with explaining to me, this group, explaining to me Revelation 17... And the verse that says, five are fallen, one is yet to come. When he comes, he must continue a short space. The one that was and is not even, he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. So you work that out and give me an explanation, as do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You six also work on the same. Five are fallen, one is giving us an explanation. That leaves 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4. and four. So this group, I want you to come up with, what can we get you to come up with? I want you to give me the three great earthquakes, where they are, what they represent. These four. This group here, what can I ask you? Which one of these ones would you like to do? Anyone. Okay, the one that was, and is not, even here's the eight, and is the seven, and goeth into perdition. I'll give you 2 minutes. You could probably turn it off there, Craig, thanks. So 2 minutes to come up with your respective answers. Eric. You got it? Okay. Just hold up cue cards. I believe that I need to know. How many do we need? We need 20 seconds. All done? Alrighty. Now what we're going to do, there's a couple of us that have got the same question. So we're going to get one group to give their explanation. Oh, you can choose a person who wants to be your champion to say it. All right. We won't have everybody saying anything. Quickly choose a spokesperson among you that does the lot. Oh, that's fine. If you all want to do it. If the team wants to do it, do it. If the team wants to elect a specific person to do it, your call. We won't think ill of you. Alrighty, so when we get one of the groups explaining it, the other groups who are dealing with the same question will then give their opinion as to whether it is a complete answer or whether anything has been left out. And if anything has been left out, you need to pick up the pieces and give us what has been left out. Who's doing the five are fallen, one is yet to come? One group, two groups, three groups. Well, who's going to go first? How do we do this? I know what we'll do. We'll draw straws. Excuse me? I do now. I have Starbucks straws. Oh, it's all been wet by the coffee. It's not brittle. I can't break it. Pick a number 1 through 10. Oh, the straws. This is very biblical. All right. Here we go. Whoever. Oh. Go over here. How many of you are there? There are three of you? Yeah. Okay, let's go. Let's go here. Where's the three groups? Oh, this group here. Who's going to draw? If you draw the short straw, you do the explanation. Don't hesitate. Chewing! Okay. Who's the next group? Ding! I think you've got it. Let me have a look at this. I think it's this group that's got the short straw. You got the pick. No, they don't get to pick. They do it. Okay, your explanation. Now, the two groups, this group and this group, you listen. Also, the others who are listening, I want you, the other group who are listening, to come up with a question of clarification that you might like to ask this group after they've given their explanation. In other words, you've got to come up with a question you can ask them that you maybe don't understand. What did you mean by that? I'm not sure you got it quite right with this little bit or what have you. Way you go, Joe.
Okay, so in Revelation chapter 17, verses 10 and 11, it talks about five are fallen, one is, the other is not yet to come, and an eighth, who is of the seven, goeth into perdition. So the first five that are fallen are the regal, the consular, the dictatorial, the decemural, and the tribunicial. The one is the imperial. The one is not yet to come is the Goths. And the eighth, which is of the seven and goeth into perdition, is the imperial coming back.
Happy with that? James. Ah, right, now. Now, thank you, James. Just before you ask that one, otherwise somebody might steal your question. Well done. Can't fault that answer, but there are some questions that you could ask that can further explore that particular explanation. So I want this group to come up with a question. James has already got one. Come up with a question that you need to ask for further clarification. You come up with a question you can ask this group, and you come up with a question that you can ask this group. Get your heads together for 30 seconds and come up with a question to ask about what the answer was. James has got his. He did, but he didn't get through it. I cut him off before he asked it. Pardon me? You have an answer? For a question? Oh, the question that was asked. Yeah, yeah. Alrighty, so another couple of seconds and then we'll move off this revision and we'll get into the material. So, you girls almost got a question? Almost. You've got your question. Do you have a question to ask? Can't you think of something out of that explanation you could ask now? What do you reckon this means? Because think of all he said, you know, regal, consular, dictatorial. There's lots of questions you could ask about that. The one come back to life, there's lots of questions you can ask about the one coming back to life. Think about something you might ask to extend the answer that was given. You guys got a question? Don't be afraid. No such thing as a wrong question. Alrighty. Are we ready? We're ready. Okay, James, can we have you ask the question of the group?
60 years.
Is it correct? Very good. Well done. Good question. Question from this group. Rats, they took your question. Not fair, but that's life. How do you know it's the imperial coming back? That's a good question. Do you all know the answer to that? You know the answer because you formulated the question. How do you know it's the imperial system that came back? Could answer that a couple of ways, actually. So it's the one that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven. How do you know that's the imperial system? Now, this group here is trying to think of the answer. So am I, actually. Shall we just take the heat off the group over here for a minute and swing over here because this group reckons they got the answer. So you've done well thus far. What do you think the answer is?
Well, in chapter 13, verse 3, it says, one of the heads of the beast, he would have a veiled wound, but he has been healed
in the whole world. What were you using? Okay. So one of the deadly... one of the heads was wounded unto death, but the deadly wound was healed. Does that answer the question, how do you know this was the imperial system? It just says one of the heads was wounded and the deadly wound was healed. But which one? That's your question, isn't it? How do you know it's the imperial one that comes back to life? I hope you know the answer to that. Do you? Do you know the answer? Anybody else think they know the answer to that? How do you know it's the imperial? Let's swing back to the person who asked the question to see whether you've got the answer. Looking at what they said? Well, that's not a bad question, but remember, that's a tricky one to answer. How do you know it's the imperial one that came back to life? How do we know that? What do? We turn to history. Where in history, when in history, did the sixth head come back to life? We know the seventh only lasted 60 years, kicked out, but there was a big void of a number of years before it came back to life. Somebody knows the answer. Cassie. AD. The beast with the two horns, imperial and religious. Very good. All right, I think we better get moving now, young people. I'll just get from this group very quickly the three beasts of Revelation 13 and what they mean. Really quick. Oh, you need the microphone. Here we go. Three beasts of Revelation 13. All of us listen to this, see if we agree.
So there's the sea beast, which is the Western Catholic Empire in verses 1 and 2. There's the earth beast in chapter 11. What was that? The Holy Roman Empire. And then there's the image of the beast, which is pagan Rome.
Kind of. Now, can anyone extend on that? I mean, you're happy with the sea beast being the Christian Western Empire? Good. Happy with the earth beast being Holy Roman Empire? Good. That's the sixth head coming back. Now, what about the image of the beast? You are half there, but not quite. Nathaniel. The Pope claiming that he is an emperor based on the pagan emperors. So it's not the pagan Roman Empire coming back to life. It's the Pope saying, I'm going to be an emperor like the pagan Romans. That's how my authority is going to be from now on. So kind of almost there. Good effort. All right, now you other folk got off lightly because we don't have time to then tap into your question, but well done having a go out of it anyway. All right, our young people, Revelation 6. Let's get into our study in earnest. We've done the big picture stuff. Let's now start getting in and talking about these emperors, what they got up to, and the six seals of Revelation chapter 6. What I think we'll do is we'll read around. We'll therefore, I guess, need it. We'll read Revelation 6. And we'll read the six seals, and then we'll start looking at the detail of them. So start with Eric, and we'll go verse 1, one verse each, as we read around.
And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see.
And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he then sat on him, had a bow and a crown, and was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer.
And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see.
Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword.
And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, Come and see, and I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand.
And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine.
And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, Come and see.
And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat upon him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and the beasts of the earth.
And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held.
And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge your blood on those who dwell on the earth?
And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also, and their brethren, that they should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled.
I looked when he opened the sixth seal, behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as a sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood.
And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her mighty untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind.
And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places.
Then the kings of the earth, and the great ones, and the generals, and the rich, and the powerful, and everyone slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains.
and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb.
For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand?
Very good. Who knows anything about that chapter? Cassie knows a little bit. Been down this chapter before, Cass? A little bit. Good. Let's now start to explore this sixth chapter. What I want you to note, young people, is this on the screen. There's an invitation to John, and the record says there in Revelation 6 and verse 1, I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. So there's your seven-sealed scroll. And as we open up each of these seven seals, the scroll's going to roll out. And this represents how many years of history? When it's finally rolled out, how many years of history does this represent? Approximately. As it's completely rolled out from the time that was opened in the days of John in AD 96. It rolls right through to, good, the beginning of the millennium. So here's a scroll of 2,000 years of history. So as one seal is broken, history flows out. The second seal is broken, history flows out. And that's how the scroll would have been looked at by John. So I heard the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts said, John, come and see. Now what I want you to note, young people, is that there are four times in Revelation 6 where this expression is used, and it's only used four times. We need to find out why. And it's only used of the horses. We need to find out why. It's not used in the fifth seal, not used in the sixth seal. This invitation is not used in the seventh seal. So what I want to do is to show you where it's used and to find out why it's only used in the first four seals. You see that expression, come and see, come and see, come and see, and come and see. Worth colouring in a different colour to your colouring in that you did with your six seals. You can see where I've got the six seals there, which are circled in red, and you've used a particular colour. How you going, Chase? Where's your Bible, mate? Well, that's it. And you got it sort of coloured in. Do you have a paper Bible? Oh, I think I asked you the same question, didn't I? All right. Hope you get some notes down. All right. Come and see, come and see, come and see, come and see. Just colour that one in because that's very, very important. We're going to explore the reason why it's only used four times. It's a bit like the angel standing next to you, Josh, and saying, Josh, come over here. Stand next to me, and I want you to have a look at that. Look at the white horse. Josh, come over here. Stand next to me. Have a look at the red horse. Have a look at the black horse. Have a look at the pale horse. And then it stops. We're not invited to come over and see the souls under the altar. Not invited to come over and see the great earthquake. Not invited to come over in chapter 8, verse 1, and to see the silence in heaven. Alrighty, now the way to understand what this expression means and why it's used four times is the other expression that's used there where it says one of the four living ones or one of the four beasts. So there, one of the four beasts said, come and see. The second beast said, come and see. The third beast said, come and see. The fourth beast said, come and see. And that's it. You have a look at this, young people. There are no beasts speaking in the fifth seal. There are no beasts speaking in the sixth seal. So this expression, come and see, coupled with one of the beasts, is very, very important. It only occurs side by side. So again, I don't know how your colouring in's going, but if you can find another colour and colour in one of the four beasts, second beast, third beast and fourth beast, very important as we understand or unlock what this means. Cassie. Cassie.
Do the beasts that say come and see coordinate with the sea beast, the earth beast, the midget beast, or the scarlet beast, or great dragon?
Good question. Hear the question? Do these four beasts coordinate with the sea beast, the earth beast, the image of the beast, or the great red dragon? That's a question that's asked. Any thoughts? Are they the same? Do they relate to them? Anyone know? The answer to Cassie is pure and simple, no. But a good question, and we needed to clarify that. Well done. So these four beasts are not anything to do with Rome or the sea beast, which is Rome and the likes. Who are these four beasts? Has anyone got a different translation? In the King James, it says the beast, the beast, the beast. Has anybody got another translation that says something different? Pardon me? Excellent. That's what your translation says. All righty. So one of the four living creatures said, that's a more accurate translation. Second seal, I heard the second living creature. Now, young people, to get the meaning of who these beasts are, on the screen, we need to go to Revelation chapter 4 and verse 4 through 7. So when you go to Revelation 4 and verse 4 through 7, what you see is you see this vision. This is a kingdom vision. Now, the word for beast is in the Greek, living one. And you've got a good translation there where it said living creature. So one of the four living ones said, come and see. And the second living one said, come and see. Who are these living ones? Because when you go to chapter 4, look at the vision. You've got a vision there of 24 elders. This is what you get in chapter 4. You've got 24 elders that are around the throne, and there is a sea of glass. Any idea what the sea of glass is in chapter 4? Simon. Excellent. It represents the nations that are calm. Isaiah says, the nations are like an angry sea casting up mire and dirt. That was our reading yesterday. Where here is the sea or the nations flat like glass. So this is the millennium. So here is a vision of the millennium. Who do you think the 24 elders are? Joe. Absolutely. You and me, God willing, in our kingly and priestly role. So here are the 24 elders, that's you and me, on a sea of glass. We're in the millennium and we're exercising our kingly and priestly role. But we will not exercise our priestly and kingly role until these four living creatures in Revelation 4 go out and do their job. Now, what's their job? I want you to look at Revelation 4, and I want you to look at verse 3 and 4 and 7, and I want you to tell me these four living creatures have got a head like an eagle, an ox, a man, and a lion. What's that? It's the cherubim. And who are the cherubim? What is the word cherubim mean? A cherub is a chariot or a vehicle within which God resides. So when you look at cherubim, they are reflections or manifestations of God. So a cherubim is a person or persons who show in their life God. They are the saints. So when one of the four living ones said, John, we are the saints, you belong with us because you're going to be part of the glorified saints, come over with us, stand back and look at the white horse. We're observing an object. We're observing the Roman Empire. John, come over here, said the second living one, the cherubim. You belong with us because you're part of the cherubim. Look at the Roman Empire in its red horse state. John, come over again. Stand next to the cherubim because you're part of us. Look at the black horse. That's how it works, you see. But I want you to tell me what these cherubim have got in Revelation 4, because without the work of the cherubim, we will not be the 24 elders. What have the cherubim got? They had six what? Dan. Wings. These six wings, there are four of them, so they had 24 wings all up. And those 24 wings relate or connect to the 24 elders. Now, the six wings is the seraphim of Isaiah. Now, the word seraphim means to burn. To burn. So these cherubim, who are the saints, are in a burning aspect. Before the sea becomes flat like glass, the cherubim have got to exercise the burning judgments of God. And that will be the seventh vial. When Armageddon takes place, until the beginning of the millennium, we're going to burn on the earth and make sure we've subdued men and women to the glory of God, and the sea will become flat like glass. So, young people, when you read the four living ones, we're talking about the immortal saints. We're talking about John is going to be part of it. Now, I want you to note this. There are no come and see in the fifth seal or the sixth seal, and there are no living ones. Do you know why there are no living ones in the fifth seal? If the living ones represent the cherubim or brethren and sisters or the ecclesia, if it represents that, which it does, you get to the fifth seal, and as we get to the fifth seal, we are approaching AD 300. Who's not far away in AD 300? Somebody's going to come on the scene in AD 312, and he's going to... Constantine, indeed. So Constantine is going to come on the scene in AD 312, and when Constantine comes on the scene, he's going to clothe a woman with the sun, he's going to put the moon under her feet, he's going to give her a garland of 12 stars, that's Revelation 12. He's actually going to lift up the false church, he's going to lift up the Catholic church, he's going to lift up the apostasy and make them part of his reign. So by the time we get to AD 300, which is where the fifth seal is, God looks down from heaven, 300 years from the time Jesus was born, 280 years from the time the ecclesia was established. God looks down from heaven, he says, where are the brothers and sisters in the fifth seal? Where are they? In the Roman Empire. Are there any over there? There's a few. Any over there? There's a few. Where are the cherubim as we approach 300 AD? They are so few in number because the corrupt church is growing so big, the apostasy is growing so big, that God does not use that title of one of the living ones said, because they're not there. There's just so few of them. So we only get the living ones in the first four seals because that's where a significant number of brothers and sisters exist in the Roman Empire. Get to the fifth seal, they're almost gone. And what's in the world is the apostate church. Pretty sad. The apostasy is on the incline, and the brothers and sisters in Christ are on the decline. So whether you can make a note in your margins in verse 9, no living ones, no cherubim, because the saints are so few in number. Can you crystallize that in your margins? We're approaching AD 300. I'll write this on the board and see if you can crystallize that in your margins. We're approaching AD 300. In the fifth seal, Constantine. What about the horse and its color, the condition, and the rider? The reason. Fantastic. Very good. All right, now when you come back to these four horses, we've got a bow without an arrow. Got to look at what that means in a moment. And you notice it. Did we do this the other day? I don't know whether we did this the other day. Look at that, the badge of the rider of the red horse. This word for red in Revelation 6, see it says that there was a red horse. The word red means fiery red. Fiery red. It's the color red that goes when you sever an artery. If you've ever seen an artery severed and you see the brightness of that blood, that's actually what this word means, fiery red, blood red. Did I tell you how many people were dying in Rome a day during the Red Horse period? Good. 2,000 a day in this second seal. We've got 31 years over here. We've got 31 years of civil war. Over here in the first seal, there's 84 years of relative peace in the pagan Roman Empire. We plummet into 31 years of civil war where there's blood everywhere. And these men who are supposed to be bringing peace to the Roman Empire are using their well, look at that sword there. That's far too long. These swords that they used were called Machairas, and they were little assassin's daggers that they used to wear under their cloak. And the Senate had them, the Empress had them, the Praetorian Guard had them. Give me any trouble and I just take out my little short stabbing stick, my little assassin's dagger, and I'll do you in right there on the spot. That's too long. That's not a Machaira. The Machairas were quite small little swords. Look at the badge of the rider on the black horse, a pair of balancers. Daniel. Yes.
And it was a good, like, 5-6 inches longer than yes. regular sword.
Yes.
That way you don't have to stick get down, you can stand up
and still swing. Well, I see why the artist did that, but of course the artist didn't quite get the reason of the stabbing stick and the small Machaira. Very good, though. Far too long, it was a short stabbing stick. Look at the badge of the rider on the black horse, a pair of balancers. So there's going to be a problem with justice. And then the rider of this fourth horse was the name Death. All right, young people, let's have a look at this first seal. And I saw when the Lamb opened up one of the seals, I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. And one of the four living ones said, John, stand over here and come and see. Now, I just want to go over here and have a look at this section here with the first four emperors of the first seal. Now, this is the first group of emperors that we've got to remember. So here is the White Horse period, and it was a very, very tranquil period. Looks like everybody's come out. We need to come back in, go back out there in a minute. The first emperor was Nerva. Second emperor was Trajan. First emperor was Hadrian. Fourth emperor was Antoninus Pius. And the fifth emperor was Marcus Aurelius. Now, what would happen, young people, is that in that 84-year period, there would be a conquering of the Roman world by the word of the covenant. Our brothers and sisters would go forward and they would preach the truth. They're going to use a bow without an arrow. What they're going to do is they're going to bend their tongues like a bow and they're going to fire out of their mouth arrows that are the gospel or the words of the covenant in this particular period. I'm just going to flick that slide back and just show you that when it says they had a bow, if you were to go to those three quotations, they're probably three very good quotations just to finish off our session this morning. If you were to write next to the word bow, Zechariah 9 verse 13, Isaiah 66 and verse 19, and Psalm 64 verses 3 to 4, you get the idea of what this bow was. Alrighty, so if you've got a pencil, just jot down your margin, Zechariah 9 verse 13, Isaiah 66 verse 19, and Isaiah 64 verse 3 to 4. This is what you'll read. In Zechariah 9, a bow represents a multitude. In Isaiah 66, they are a multitude proclaiming the truth. And in Psalm 64, you read about tongues that are being bent. And as you bend your tongue, out of your mouth go words like arrows. So when you look at those three quotations, young people, you've got a multitude who proclaim the truth, they bend their tongues, and out of their tongues go these arrows, which is the word of God. So in this peaceful period of the Roman Empire, our brothers and sisters were preaching the truth. They were preaching the gospel. Therefore, the bow without an arrow means that our warfare is not carnal. Our warfare is spiritual. We use a bow, but we don't stick people with arrows. How many minutes have we got, Craig? Have we used them up? We're done. All right, we'll pick it up in the next... He's looking in the window. We'll pick them up in the next class that we have, and we'll pick up from the white horse, and I'm going to take you through the red, black, pale, yellowy, and I'm going to tell you some stories about the emperors that will absolutely astound you with respect to Bible prophecy. Okay, young ones, you have a good day, have a good lunch, and yes, have a good next... Who's in next? Oh, I forgot there was a next section. I thought it was going to be lunchtime. Oh, sorry about that.